Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday on The Fan, presented by Chiniga Mayos, a 2025 top workplace. Taking calls now at 1-800-636-1067. Your takeaways from the Commanders' loss in Atlanta to the Falcons, where they give up 435 yards of offense and, of course, 34 points in the loss.
Just kind of gross that the Falcons manage exactly 0 points the week before, and then they explode for 34 against the Commanders' allegedly improved defense.
Defense allows Atlanta to convert 6 of 12 third downs, including 3 straight third down conversions on that drive after they closed it to within a score after the touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel and the 2-point conversion to Zach Ertz closed it to a 7-point game. Atlanta then, you know, defense has them on their heels kind of in a way and has them in third down situations thinking, hey, you can get the ball back and maybe steal the game. Like, I was thinking, hey, if you get the stop, you go down and you score and then you go for two. I was already locked into going for two. They just could not get a stop.
The problem is thinking you get a stop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just there was no reason to really watch that game and think we were going to get a stop.
Right. Especially because they're tired toward the end of the game. When they're fresh, they can't get a stop. They're going to get one in the fourth quarter when they need it.
It was very
they were gassed.
Reminiscent of like games over the last decade plus.
Right.
And you were mentioning it during the break, Cakes. Their running back room is such a committee.
Look, if it's getting a job done, that's fine.
And occasionally, you know, they're going to have that big run like they did with McNichols last week,
right,
with Rodriguez this week. But you kind of lean on somebody. You want someone you can kind of count on. And they just don't have that right now. Maybe that's fine for the rest of the way because you've got three guys and usually they're going to be fresh when they get in.
Right. Maybe start they carrying can the just ball. Cobble it together and make it work.
I just thought Mariota would have opportunities to run a little bit more than he did yesterday.
Yeah, he refused to run. And it was infuriating.
And I think he did, and he just refused.
It was infuriating me.
Yeah.
And because I keep saying, oh, this is the same offense. We don't change a thing with Marcus. That's a, you know. Really? You don't change a thing? The guy's he's just trying to beat everybody from the pocket today. Why? Yeah.
But he wasn't the problem. He played good enough to win. They scored 27
Listen,
points.
It's not the week to make that argument, but he was mediocre. That's not the same offense. The defense lost in the game. There's no question about it. But it's not the same offense. And obviously, Mariota doesn't have Jaden's talent, but he didn't even have his will. Like I didn't understand it.
Well, he also didn't have
you from the pocket.
He also didn't have Terry McLaurin.
Yeah,
he also didn't have you know, Bates.
So run.
Okay, I thought Mariota. Like,
he was a B at best.
Yeah, I might even give him a B minus. Whatever. He had a bad interception.
Yeah,
but he's not working with the full deck either.
He's not. But there's also something to the fact that the Commanders, they beat up on the Giants with Russ, and they smoked the Raiders. When they've stepped up in competition, the Packers and, you know, the Falcons aren't on the level of the Packers, but when they've stepped up in competition, they're 0-2 at this point.
Yeah.
And the next opponent is a step up in competition.
Yeah.
In both road games, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
Dan Quinn talked about it. He said, we've been slow starters on the road. Unacceptable.
If you look at big picture, if you said Marcus Mariota is going to start a couple games, what would you expect the record to be, without knowing the opponents?
500. Most likely 500. And look, you give them a pass for missing their two most important offensive players in Jaden and Terry McLaurin. Jaden, hopefully back next week. I'm I'm going to guess Terry McLaurin misses again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be back in 2 weeks from whatever injury.
Not if they were contemplating surgery.
Mystery ailment that he's dealing with.
If you're borderline surgery, you ain't coming back in a week.
No, but he's going to be out for a while. He's going to be out for a while.
Again, the bigger problem is the defense.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
No, for sure.
Lack of pass rush. That's why they brought in an old Von Miller and why they signed Preston Smith. Those are called graspers. They got production out of Dante Fowler Jr. last year. And they were hoping they would get production from some of these guys. Now, Dorrance Armstrong has been off to a nice start. But pass rush is going to be an issue. And when you have a quarterback like Michael Penix with nobody around him and just time to find guys, and it seemed like the zone was soft. There were some times where there was nobody within like 10 yards of guys. Mm-hmm. Well, Kyle Pitts didn't have a huge game, but I remember one, it was like, nobody's within 15 yards of him.
Well, they don't have anybody that can cover him.
He had a pretty big game, 5 for 70 in the touchdown.
They don't have anybody to cover him.
It was just a zone. Like the I don't know
zones
what the coverage was.
If you have pressure.
The zone completely backed up and everybody underneath was open.
Zones, yeah. I mean, there were holes everywhere in the zone.
All right, let's go to the phones. Your initial thoughts, Commanders fall to the Falcons. They are 2-2 through the first four games of the year.
All right, let's go to Thomas. Thomas, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies.
Hey, Thomas.
Morning, fellas.
What's up?
What's up?
So my take is we got to do something about Lattimore. I mean, he's just hot trash. I don't know if you should just bench him or just flat get rid of him and let one of these younger guys maybe have a chance, because I'm just tired of in and in week with him, and he's been more of a negative than a positive for us.
Lattimore has not been good, I agree, but you're going to bring someone off the bench, they're not going to be as good as Lattimore. And not only that, but it wasn't just Lattimore that was bad yesterday. Okay, Amos was bad. Sanders still was bad. Amos had a third down penalty on the defensive holding that gave them a first down. They had a chance to get it back on a punt. He had that holding penalty. Then they had Sanders still was getting beat. Savage, who they brought off, who they just signed, he was getting beat. I mean, all the guys in the secondary were bad.
Yeah,
it wasn't just Lattimore. Now, Lattimore has not had a good start, no doubt. But if you bench Lattimore, you're going to bring a guy off the bench? You think he's going to be any better?
I mean, I feel like it'd be worth a try.
Well, I don't know who you want to bring back off the – I mean, there's a reason.
I don't know, man.
And by the way, corners are going to get beat.
I'm like that. He should be making big moves. You know what I mean?
All right. Thanks for your call. Corners are going
to
get beat.
I'll be the first one to say it. I was wrong on Lattimore. I thought he was going to come back and have a good start to the year. But it hasn't just been him.
No.
It's been the entire secondary.
By the way, this is from
Quan Martin had that holding on Pitts.
Yep.
I mean, come on. Let's criticize them all if you're going to criticize Lattimore.
Ryan Fowler on Twitter. Lattimore through four games. Has anybody brought these stats up? 20 targets against, 11 catches allowed for 173 yards, 9 first downs allowed, 6 penalties, 3 15-plus yard completions against.
He hasn't been good.
I mean, he used to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a shadow of himself. We got a broken guy.
They got Nordstrom Rack, Marshawn.
We got damaged goods.
Yeah. Yeah.
They made a play for damaged goods.
The Nordstrom edition played in New Orleans and wore a Saints uniform.
Yeah.
This is the discount version.
Yeah. I'd agree. I mean, look, he was on Drake London for most of that game.
If you're
going to put anybody else on Drake London, London's going to beat you too. All right.
I don't know. But I'm going to argue that Amos would do better. I mean, he might still get his, but
he's faster.
Amos would do better.
He's faster, but I just think that all of those guys were going to get beat the way they were playing yesterday.
Yeah. I think the DBs are mediocre, but it all stems up front.
Mm-hmm.
And we just could not get that. I think we touched the quarterback or hit the quarterback officially twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's putrid.
Didn't even feel like that.
Let's go to JR. Baltimore. JR, what's up, man? We're all with the Junkies. Very disappointing overall. JR.
What's up, guys? Hey, buddy. I'm friends with Pete. I called you guys when we lost our boy back in the day.
Okay.
I know right now he's rolling. He's rolling big time. I mean, what's going on with this supposed defensive guru team we bring in? And then Cliff is so inconsistent. I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We put up 41 week, and the next week we struggle. And, you know, Marcus, I get it. He's not JD. We know that. But come on, man. I mean, he does so well with certain things. And you guys called it. He wasn't out of the pocket enough. I mean, what
that's
do
what
think?
Makes him special. When Marcus Mariota is a dual threat guy, and we didn't see nearly enough of that.
Just two carries.
Yeah. 98% of the time, he was just standing there like he was freaking Joe Montana.
But there were opportunities for him to go, and he just refused to do it.
Refused.
Yeah.
Let's go to.
But again, he's not the biggest reason they lost.
No, it's just
the fact. I thought he played okay.
Yeah. He was mediocre.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, of course the defense is the number one problem. I'm just lashing out. Because I expect to get my 30 burger every week. Now 27 should be good enough to beat most teams, but we're gonna have to score like 35 a week to win. It looks like.
And they had the ball 10 more minutes.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
Let's go to Chris in DC. I just think the only way we can win is we got to be outrageous on offense.
By Chris, the way, before we go to Chris,
hold on, Chris. How y'all doing today?
One second, hold on, buddy. One second. They desperately miss Eckler out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Like I thought that Jeremy McNichols would catch some of the balls, and I understand Jaden's not there. Maybe Marcus doesn't love throwing to running backs.
Yeah.
That's an element of the offense that's completely disappeared.
The running backs
don't catch any balls.
I would agree.
And that hurts. That makes you so much more predictable
offense. They're not throwing to them.
Yeah. That's a problem. That needs to be like tweaked by Cliff.
Chris, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, morning, fellas. I'm going to be on everybody radio station today, I'm telling you. Anyway, being a Falcons fan. But, hey, check this out.
Oh, okay.
You're the one Falcons fan out there.
Yeah,
congrats to you.
I can't wait to talk to AY, too. But anyway, hey, guys, listen. You can't blame just one person, Lattimore. Guess what?
There's a lot of blame to go around.
I know you guys not, but I'm just talking about everybody else out there. Deron Payne, you haven't heard his name. You didn't hear Kinlaw's name. You know, the cornerbacks are good as your pass rush. And Atlanta quarterback only got hit 9 times in 4 games this week. But guess what? I thought the offense did enough to win this game. I think the defense, like, they got out-schemed. Like, when Bijan caught the pass, it was a rub route that you guys were courting man-to-man. Bobby got rubbed off with the corner. And that's how Bijan Robinson got there. But I say, hey, pump your brakes because, I thought that the offense did enough to win. I don't think the Chargers are as good as everybody advertises because guess what? I think Commanders match up good with teams like the Chargers with no speed at wide receiver and a banged up defensive line. I think you're going to get a better Commanders team next week. I've been watching.
I hope that's
year.
The case. Let's hope.
I like it. Well, I like the optimism.
I know the Chargers aren't
you
that good.
You might be right.
They got blanked by the Panthers. I know they're not that good. I'm well aware that they're not one of the elite teams in the NFL.
Who?
The Falcons.
Oh, he said the Chargers, yeah.
I know the Falcons have flaws.
If you just look at year-to-year comparison, and it's only 4 games, but defensively last season was a big improvement for the Commanders coming off of Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio and that whole mess. Last year they finished 13th overall. Now, their problem last year was stopping the run where they finished 30th, but they were third in pass defense. Part of that was because teams attacked them with the run. So they're 13th last year, giving up 327 yards per game. This year, they're giving up 356 yards per game, which is 24th in the NFL. So from 13th to 24th. Passing, they've dropped from 3rd to 28th, giving up 248 yards per
game.
Third
was a fraud, though, as you mentioned.
And they're 20th against the run.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Kinlaw, I don't think it's fair to say Kinlaw did nothing.
He
I think Kinlaw, Goldman, the
Goldman
size that
play.
They've added has helped in terms of stopping the big runs up the middle. It wasn't a great day stopping the run, but if you look, Algier averaged, I think, 3.3 yards per carry. And Bijan was good. I wouldn't say on just running the football. It wasn't great. Like he didn't murder you. They're better against the run than they were last year.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine, but I think you're just getting caught up in the numbers.
Bijan murdered them for the game.
They allowed 34 points to a team that couldn't find their way offensively last week.
I think what he's just saying is that it was more passing oriented, we couldn't stop the pass. We're bad at both, but we were worse in our pass defense.
There's no doubt about that.
It's the lack of pass rush, which a week ago against the Raiders, their pressure percentage was 50%.
Yeah.
So they wreaked havoc a week ago. We weren't able to do anything this week.
You got to credit Penix because he stood in there and he didn't necessarily take some massive hits, but he stood in there in the face of some pressure and got rid of the ball quick. He did a really good job of getting rid of the ball quick. And it's hard to pressure when your quarterback gets rid of the ball so quick.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's just all around just not good. All right, let's go to Ted in D.C. Ted, what's up? You're over the Junks.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Hey, Ted. What's up?
Okay.
Well, my feeling about the game is there is no pass rush, bottom line. Joe Witt needs to come down out that booth and light some fire on these guys. These guys are getting paid good money to get out there and perform. He needs to come down out that booth and light a fire on these dudes' butts, man. Because he's just sitting up there like he's blind. He can't see. Put his hand in his face like he can't see.
I will say the optics. I agree with you. The optics of that, every time they showed the booth, and it looked like a funeral in there. Yeah. There was like no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's no fire. We had no fire. The linebackers, like, man, I understand we did good last year. I love them to death. But last year's last year.
Mm-hmm. Right,
we are slow. We look like a bunch of old men playing young
boys.
Well,
it is an old team.
Yeah,
I mean that's certainly
yes, it is. But that's we like an old man. We keep paying all these old guys to come in. Preston Smith, Von Miller ain't done nothing since he's been here.
Uh-huh.
Lana sack last week.
Von Miller ain't done nothing since he's been here. Missing tackles, looking upfield.
Well, he's
I don't stand about. Yeah, I'll let y'all go, man.
All right, thank you, Ted.
I won't say a lot of stuff, but I can't say it.
I know.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, buddy.
I just hope for the Commander's sake that they get the bad Justin Herbert again next week. But I'm going to guess he has a bounce back.
He's only going to be bad if you make him bad.
I understand.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about that's the thing about trying to predict how these teams are going to play.
Right.
I mean, look how bad Atlanta was against the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it was a complete 180.
Yep.
Chargers were bad yesterday, 14 penalties. They gave the Giants 200 yards.
And 200. Herbert, two picks,
they gave
right?
the Giants two full football fields. Yeah. Think about that. All right? You would expect them to be much better. But you would also expect Washington's defense to be a little bit better, if not much better, next week. So we'll see.
I'm also over the Zach Ertz false starts. I think it's maybe been two this year, but I'm over them.
Yeah.
You're the veteran. You're like one of the leaders of the team. Like he has like one grace, you know, false start.
Mm-hmm.
No more. That's it.
And how is he even starting early? He's old. He should be behind the pace, not ahead of it.
I don't know.
What is he doing?
I just can't have it. I can't have my veteran leader jumping off sides.
I don't know who's going to take his place, but might be the final year for Zach Ertz.
Yeah,
this could be
Zach Ertz and Bobby.
This could be the beginning of the end.
I mean, they're just
man. We're in a dark. We're dark.
It's
place.
Dark times. Here.
Do you think that's just the difference in the cadence between JD and Mariota?
It could be. I think it's more of it is focus, isn't it? It's focus.
You might be right.
Being locked in. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, clearly the Falcons were focused. They're ready to play. We came out just from the jump. I hate when we have like three and out series like that to start a game.
Flat.
Just
pancake flat.
Not good.
My butt flat.
It was one of those games where everybody had the same thought because we all are normal humans. You're watching that game and literally 5 minutes of the game, you're going, this ain't trending great. Yeah. This is looking like a loser.
Bad juju.
Early on.
Yeah.
And things could change. You know what? There's ebbs and flows.
I already have that mindset for next week's game. That's my negative mindset heading into the Chargers
game. My negative mindset is it's going to take a minor miracle to win in San Diego.
Yeah, L.A., but I mean,
whatever.
Yeah.
Wherever you call it, wherever they play.
I know. They played in San Diego forever.
Yeah. It's going to take a
minor
miracle.
It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters where San Diego, L.A., they can play in San Francisco.
Yeah. I was going to say it would be a miracle if they won in San Diego.
The Chargers.
But this is what you do after losses.
Yep. This is the way it works.
You know, it's hard to imagine they're going to be much better than they were yesterday, but
I think they'll be better.
That happens in the NFL. Just does. But
I don't know how much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The coach will talk later on this afternoon. I would assume some sort of update, but nothing definitive, I would guess, on Jaden Daniels. But all of the reporting yesterday, pregame and even during the game with the announcing crew, was all about the idea that Jaden would return Sunday against the Chargers. October is 2 days away, and so will the return of chilly air seeping into your home. That is if you've got old, stuck, or cracked windows. Eliminate annoying drafts once and for all with top quality replacement windows from Window Nation. Window Nation has some of the best replacement windows out there. Their installation crews finish the job in 1 day or less, so you can get back to your daily routines with minimal interruption. Window Nation offers a lifetime warranty on all their windows, so you can relax knowing your home is protected far into the future. During the month of October, when you buy two windows, you'll get the next two free. There's no limit to how many windows you can replace, and your total price includes 1 day installation. Make no payments for 2 years. That's no monthly payments, no down payment, and no interest until 2027. That's a big deal with the holidays right around the corner. Put an end to your window problems before this beautiful fall weather ends. Call Window Nation today at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. All right, back to my game take. I had just started with the things that were not good from the game, and it's all about defense, number one. But number two, for real quickly, actually, from Lawrence. Lawrence writes, clear coverage issues, too many linebackers in coverage, including your boy Armstrong. Yeah, Armstrong will drop into coverage every once in a while. There are certain things we as, you know, I think attentive fans can identify. Wagner in coverage doesn't look like the best idea as, you know, something you want to do too much of. Lattimore appears to be struggling, yes. It appears as if there are too many free releases for receivers at the line of scrimmage, especially when they use motion. There was a 3rd and 4 with Bijan in the slot yesterday where it didn't look like anybody was covering him. There are lots of issues, but again, is it scheme, play calling, coaching, you know, in one bucket, or is it players, talent, execution in the other? I bet it's somewhere in between. They got to fix it, okay? Herbert, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey and company, Quentin Johnston, he's having a much better year this year. Yeah, they've got to get better in that area. Defense, number one on the list of things that all of us, I'm sure, had a problem with yesterday. Number two for me is Cliff Kingsbury's play calling. I say this every time I do this because Sonny Jurgensen for years said, stop doing the, you know, you think the play calling was bad. But when you've got two of your backs going 14 for 106 and 7.5 yards per carry. As a team, 22 for 147, 6.7 yards per carry. I think that's all that you really need to say, why 33 called pass plays? If you count, by the way, penalties, sacks, and scramble, why 33 called pass plays and 20 called run plays? Why? Like, they weren't behind so much throughout the entire game that they had to desperately down 21 to nothing start throwing the football. It was, you know, 10 to 7. It was 17 to 10. It was 17 to 13. It was 24 to 16. You know, now, by the time they got the ball back, 31-24, understood, you know, it, or 34-24 when they got the ball back down, 34-24, you got to throw there. I just, and sometimes that'll skew some of the numbers. I just didn't love it. I felt kind of like I did it in the Green Bay game in that
you were having a major problem defensively. And then yesterday there wasn't an issue with pass protection or throwing the football like there was in the Green Bay game. But with the play count and the time of possession kind of doubled up in the first half, I think you wanted to come back and do something a little bit more time-consuming. You know, if you go to the first play of the second half, okay, Bill's in the game. He rips off a 16-yard first down run. They go tempo, and they take a deep shot to Lane, which was caught, by the way, but holding on Sinnott. So before you know it, it's first and 20, and then after an offensive PI on McCaffrey, it's first and 30. They amazingly... okay, overcame the first and 30. That was where Mariota on third and 14 scrambled for 22 yards. But you really weren't getting stopped. And by the way, Kroski Merritt is and Rodriguez are two of your better players, two of your better skill position players. I'd like to see in the next four games, Kroski Merritt's got 29 carries in four games. I'd like to see double that in the next four. And I understand, I said this earlier, that they have some concerns, I'm sure, with his inexperience, especially as a pass protector. Coach him up. You got to have him on the field. If the same issue exists with Rodriguez, coach him up. You need those guys on the field more. You need them carrying the ball more. I think it's a decent run-blocking offensive line with the way they've, you know, structured it the last 2 weeks. You know, they didn't go heavy jumbo as much, I don't think, as last week. I'd have to look at the snap count for Trent Scott. They started the game that way. Find the snap count for Trent Scott. I'm going to bet it's not what it was last week. Last week he was in for about a third of the plays.
Looking right now, Nikki just posted them.
Trent Scott, nine snaps in the game out of 57. So, yeah, a lot less of the jumbo sixth offensive lineman in the game than last week, even though they started the game that way. I don't know. To me, they should have been able to run the football. They were bigger than Atlanta was up front. What did you say? I'm sorry, Max.
Nine snaps, 16%.
Yeah. I think that they could have gone to the run more. I felt that way against Green Bay, but Bates was lost, and they felt like they weren't going to be successful doing that. And maybe they would have been right. But here's what's indisputable. The two running backs yesterday were averaging a ridiculous 7.5 yards per carry. And these weren't, you know, draws at the end of the first half from your own 20 running the clock out where somebody goes for 30, okay? These were, you know, first down, second down runs. On the list of things that I didn't like, there were a lot of fumbles in the game, but none of them were lost. Amazingly, Lane muffed two punts at the end of the first half. Debo fumbled and recovered it. So they got lucky, you know, that they didn't lose one of those. Atlanta fumbled too. Bijan fumbled on that knockout by Payne, and which, by the way, saved them 4 points because it was second and one, and it went to third and seven, and they got the stop, you know, one of the, you know, few times that they got a stop on third down, and they forced a field goal, so that was a big play. And then on a punt by Tressway near the end of the first half, that ball knocked off, you know, one of the Atlanta players, you know, legs, shins, and that was loose for a while. But Lane, two muffed punts. That was disappointing because he had not really done that. You know, we had that issue, remember, last year with Zacchaeus a little bit back on punts. So two more things on the list of things that I didn't like. So the first is very nitpicky, but I just thought Quinn should have been more aggressive at the end of the first half. Now, when they took over from their own 8-yard line, I would have been fine with him being conservative there. But they got to the 33 in a few plays, and then on a second and 10, they ran McNichols and let the clock run. The ball's at the 35-yard line, the second and 10 run. Come on, man. You got out to the 33 pretty quickly. Let's go for it. You know, this has been his MO. And you've got a quarterback that, for the most part, is making some good decisions and some good throws. I understand you're limited in your offense, you know, of array of weapons. But you covered some 25 yards of ground pretty quickly, and then you dialed it back. I think, you know, he might say when we got to second and 10 after the first incompletion, we wanted to run the clock. We were that 2 yard run wasn't intended to be a two yard run. We thought we could get 7 or 8, and then we would have gone faster with the ball at the 40 yard line. But once we did that, and we were faced with 3rd and 8. They weren't calling a timeout, which was a mistake on their part. We just wanted to go into the, you know, locker room down 7, knowing we would get the ball first to start the second half. I understand that thinking, but man, I don't know. He's always been an err on the side of being aggressive, and we've now had, I think, 2 occasions at the end of halves where they've been, you know, uncharacteristically conservative. Then last on the list, they did not need to kick that field goal at the end down 34-24 when they kicked it, okay? That, I mean, most of you understand this, and I know a lot of you don't. It's not your thing. You don't follow all this stuff. But down 34-24 with no timeouts left, you need, obviously, a field goal and a touchdown, right? You're going to have to recover an onside kick, regardless of what the next score is. You'd much rather the next score be a field goal. With, you know, 30 seconds or so left in the game, 25 seconds or so left in the game, giving you a legitimate chance to get in field goal range. They had moved the ball up and down the field in the fourth quarter, and they were moving the ball up and down the field again. And for some reason, they clocked it when they reached the Atlanta 24, and they sent Matt Gay out there with a minute 29 left. And the purpose of that is, look, if we're going to need a touchdown, we want the most amount of time if we do recover the onside kick. I understand that. But you were in touchdown scoring range. You were 4 yards away from the red zone. And you had them on their heels. I would have gone another 40 seconds, another 5, 6, 7, 8 snaps in the game. Although with the clock running, if it's inbounds, it's going to be far fewer. Understood. But call it 3 or 4 snaps, offensive snaps, trying to score a touchdown before I would have sent the field goal kicker out there. You really, when you're down, you know, when you're down 9, 10, or 11 in a game, late in a game, there's so many different scenarios. But basically, if you're in that situation where you have no timeouts and you're below the 2-minute warning and you're going to have to recover an onside kick, if you've got an opportunity to get the touchdown first, which they did based on the context, which was they had moved the ball down the field in the previous drive and the drive prior to that, and there they were moving it down the field again, and they had a minute 30 left. A minute 30. No, don't kick there. Go get the touchdown. Spend at least another 45 seconds trying to get the touchdown. How many plays is that? It depends on how many plays are inbounds versus out of bounds, completed versus incompleted, penalties versus no penalties. It was just, there are times where you want that kicker out there. You know, like if you've got less than 3 timeouts left, okay, less than 3, and you're before the 2-minute warning, and you can get a kickoff before the 2-minute warning, forcing them to run a play before the 2-minute warning on offense, giving you a 3rd timeout, you do it there. You certainly do it with 30 seconds or 25 seconds left down 10 so that you ensure you've got time left if you recover an onside kick to at least get into range for a Hail Mary or a touchdown. I would not have kicked with a minute 29 left. It was far too early. All right, other observations from the game. I talked about him all week long. I think I've talked about him going back to last year. Bijan Robinson is one of the most mesmerizing players in the league to watch if you're just a football fan and you can be objective. He is truly a superstar. He is right there with Saquon, with Derrick Henry as runners. He's also an excellent pass catcher. Bijan Robinson has this sick ability to make people miss with unbelievable cut on dime ability. He's got wiggle. He's got the ability to make people never sort of square up and hit him directly. He's got speed, although Reeves made a great play running him down on that pass. he was outstanding in that game yesterday, and their best players had to be, and they were desperate to be. Michael Penix, by the way, Bijan's combined 181 yards was a career high for him. That was actually surprising to me. I would have thought he would have had a buck 50 in a 75-yard passing day. Michael Penix Jr. was really, really good in the game. He has top 10 arm talent, period. Okay, so did Cam Newton, so did Jamarcus Russell, so did Jeff George. I understand that, okay? Michael Penix Jr. has top 10 arm talent. He's got a ridiculous, you know, throwing motion. It's such a quick release. And when he sees it and he is decisive, you saw it at Washington, he is really good. I think he's going to be an outstanding NFL quarterback. He was my number three quarterback behind Jaden and Caleb in the draft. I liked him a lot more than McCarthy, a lot more than Nix, a lot more. I liked him more than I liked Drake May, and I liked Drake May. But I think Penix Jr. has elite-level potential as a passer. He was terrible last week. If they weren't playing our team, I would have really appreciated the resilience for him because he heard it all week. I watched his press conference on Wednesday. It was so impressive. And everything from down there, from the people that cover the team, the people, the players, this kid is self-aware. He's accountable. I think he's going to be a star at the position. And yeah, Washington's defense and coverage issues seem to be easy pickings for quarterbacks with some talent. Penix Jr. was outstanding. Other observations from the game. Raheem Morris just is terrible as a game situation coach. I mean, bottom four or five in the league. He literally cost his team a playoff berth when they lost here in December with his just abysmal clock management at the end of the half and at the end of the game last year. And he doesn't have a clue. I know Raheem is incredibly well-liked, and he is a motivator. He is a people person. He has no clue how bad he is. They can't stand him down there for this. And I don't understand when Quinn decided to bail at the end of the first half with that run to McNichols on second and 10 that got 2 yards. I don't know why he's not calling timeout. Like, it's the same thing they did last year. They didn't give their team a chance up 14-7 to go up 21-7 in Washington in Landover and instead kicked a field goal. It was pathetic. He just is really, really awful at that. And I don't think he is coachable. Raheem is one of those guys. He's a people guy, but he's got all the answers. Just ask him. They're terrible at that. Ben Sinnott for the second straight week stood out to me as a blocker. There was a play yesterday, a reverse to Debo, where he blocked two people. I think he's proven himself here recently to be a good blocker. Of course, he's not a pass target, surprisingly. He also had a couple of penalties yesterday. The Falcons, here's another observation. The Falcons made a PAT after the ball was tipped. I can't see who got a piece of it. Maybe we'll find out who it was. But with all of the kicks that have been blocked around the league, more yesterday, and you know, just and last night, you had a two-point return on a PAT by the Cowboys. That kick got through, though. Got through from 33 yards out on a PAT after it got deflected at the line of scrimmage. Also, look, this is a two-point conversion analytics thing. I understand having more information is better than having less information. Down 31-16 on the 4th-and-3 touchdown pass to Debo, Quinn decided to go for two there. They converted it. Look, the conversion rate on two-point plays is still less than 50% on average in the league. So if you don't get it, it's 31-22. Yes, you have more information. You now need two scores. I understand that is valuable to know that. I also think that there is game pressure that exists in an 8-point game for your opponent versus a 9-point game. I wonder if that is factored into that decision. I'm not criticizing him for it. If I was, I would have had him on the list of things I didn't like. I just think that this going for two down in that situation, down 15 initially, creates the probability, because two-point conversions are less than 50-50, that it's going to be a nine-point game and the other team is not going to feel enough game pressure. And I think there's something to score time and associated game pressure and the way the game is played after that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7. It's definitely a misery Monday when your offense, your defense gives up about 450 yards and 34 points to a team that was blanked the week before. I just tweeted this out. You can follow me at JP Finley NBCS. Like, you don't want to be reactionary in your analysis of professional football because it's largely a week-to-week league. Crazy stuff happens every week, right? Like, that's just the nature of this game. But for me, at the same time, there are recurring issues defensively that I think they have some real talent on the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
When the D-line can't control a game, and they're not going to control every game.
No.
When the D-line can't control a game, they're getting gashed. They're giving up big plays. There seem to be coverage issues. And it seems to kind of trickle down. Yesterday was the biggest example, specifically with the missed tackles. I saw one of the stat companies had 12 missed tackles for Washington. There's always missed tackles in a game.
Yeah.
But 12 is abhorrent.
Some of them missed yesterday. It wasn't like you missed it because you had wrapped up and the guy just made an unbelievable break from the tackle. Yesterday, we just felt like we could just get somebody the flying elbow or the forearm and they were going to go down. And you found out that guys with balance don't go down for that crap.
They were playing some like unique fronts yesterday. There was a fourth down play in the first half where they had Kinlaw off the field. You have to discuss multiple angles of this because you wonder schematically where the holes are. And I think you recognize it's a week-to-week league, but when you start to see recurring things, that's a problem, right? Like, I think there are some coverage schemes that are not to the best. They're not best suited to the personnel you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is among the worst thing coaches can do is like, no, my system can work. Like, build the system that works for the guys on the field.
Yeah. And if the system you build is not working, make a damn adjustment. The best thing in football is you can change your mind. And I told you, I played one of the best coaches ever. And what I told you, Coach Gills, we would practice adjustments to stuff, dog. And I don't, listen, the fact that you can't be so physical today, you can be mental, though. They should be able to, if you're doing something, you should know what the team is going to try to do to circumvent what you're doing. And you should be ready for that crap. At least give your players a little bit of the work with it and then change it. Listen, it happens, man. And it is not that hard. Listen, everybody has their way of doing things. But you know what's the best way of doing things? The one that works. And if the way you have put it in is not working, when you get to the point of Friday, Saturday, if you get in the game and it ain't working, you got to adjust it. You got to be able to switch course and draw something else up.
Do you think the overall like recurring issues are more driven by scheme or personnel? Because both of those things you can change. One of the things we got really frustrated by in the Rivera era was they put the same players out there no matter what, right? And they just identified their guys and they were going to roll with them.
Yeah.
Now, the injuries might be dictating some things here.
It could be. It could be.
Like, there's a lot of injuries.
But I'm just saying this, Jay. I don't care what your scheme is. I don't care what your personnel is. If something's not working at that moment, I have to change it. Yesterday, we didn't change scheme or personnel.
No.
We kept doing the same thing with the same people. So if you didn't change the scheme, then I can't say it's the people. If you had changed the scheme and it kept doing it, then I know it's the people. But if you had changed the people and it kept the same scheme and it worked, then I think it's the people. You get what I'm saying? But they didn't change anything. So I don't know what it was. But I can tell you this. You're absolutely right. I'm not blaming scheme or coaches for lack of tackling.
I mean, if you want to zoom out on that and be like, they don't hit enough or go hard enough in August to be ready for September, I'd argue that's a league-wide problem. But yeah, certainly, but Washington did not have a grueling August.
No. But the thing of it is, you've heard me say this a million times. This is my profession. When I was in this was my profession. The coach can tell me all we're going to do is this today. I, as the football player, know that that's not enough for me. I have to go do a little bit more, right? You watch some guys play, and you know they're doing more than what the hell everybody else is doing. I don't care if anybody think what they want. Michael Parsons, he ain't doing just a little, okay? Saquon Barkley, he's not doing just a little. You watch guys that play to a different speed, a different Max Crosby, not doing just a little. So if you know you got way more to go and way more to push after you finish practice or weightlifting or whatever with your team, then because I had coach tell me, like, we don't prepare this thing for the guys that's in the best shape. We prepare everything for the guys in the least amount of shape to try and bring everybody along. So then I knew it wasn't enough for me. So I had to go do more to make sure I could play the way I know I can play. So just because the NFL and the league, I mean, the union have put up these rules, that doesn't mean that that's all you can do. You can go push yourself to the limit. And if you're not being able to reach your potential on the field, then damn it, you owe it to yourself. You are your tool. I'm right here now. I got a mic. I got a computer in front of me doing my job. But ultimately, on the football field, your job is you. Your tool is you. And if you don't get that to the absolute best ability or level you can, then you got a damn problem. Not the coach. You got a problem.
Specific to personnel, because I just don't know what you can do. Looking at snap counts from yesterday, Wagner played 100% of snaps. Lattimore played 100% of snaps. Luvu played 100%. Quan Martin, 100%. Specific to the linebacker position, do you think Jordan McGee, Kane Medrano, younger guys maybe need to be on the field more? Jordan McGee got zero defensive snaps. Kane Medrano, zero defensive snaps. Cahill, zero defensive snaps. I think Cahill left with an injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was in concussion protocol.
Now, those guys are playing on specials. They're playing.
Yeah.
But they're not getting defensive snaps.
That's the thing about it. They may not be able to perform to be able to get those defensive snaps. So I don't think just because they're on the field and they're younger that they automatically get a chance. If they don't know what the hell they're doing, then why? So, I think yesterday, if guys wrap up and make tackles, this game does not go how it went. I think yesterday was more of a problem of lack of tackling than it was anything else we could think about. Because I'm going to tell you, I know for sure, I counted like 10 of them. When guys were dead to the rights, we bump them and they kept going. It wasn't just Bijan or Algier, It was receivers and some tight ends too. We were not wrapping up. If we wrap up and we don't, the fourth down one they went for, we hit him, boom. He still was able to run a little bit more, get some more yards. We had a few plays. We hit the guy, 2 yard gain, but no, he's down the field now, 10 more yards.
Game balls and gassers. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst.
What do you mean, 4 o'clock?
I don't know what that means. Atlanta Falcons, great job coming off a terrible loss. Washington was the victim. They were awful. And you guys got to take advantage of that. So congrats on everybody for being able to dine off that for a couple of weeks. There are no more wolves at the door. So good for you, Atlanta Falcons.
I'll take a gasser. Anybody in the secondary yesterday that was responsible for making sure that Drake London didn't look like one of the better receivers in the NFL? Don't really care how we got here. Scheme, coaching staff, players, everyone's trying to figure out what's what. Don't really care. It was way too easy. There were too many open guys. There was no coverage at any point where it felt like there was a PBU or risk of an interception other than the one really bad throw by Penix when London was actually open. So I'll go gasser to the secondary.
Spoiler alert, I'm doing all gassers. Dan Quinn, Ron Rivera approves of your timeout usage. I need it to be a little tighter, brother. I need it to be a little tighter on that one. Third quarter, 9:30 left to go. You just gave up a nice, tidy 70-yard pass to Bijan Robinson. Hey, guys, let's gather the troops, brotherhood. We really like a return-to-play procedure. Return to play. So you use that timeout, right, to drop something, to figure out a nice little scheme, a quick adjustment on the fly. So the next play was good, right? 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 7-yard touchdown to Pitts. But at least you don't have the timeout for a close game later on. Good stuff.
Young receivers, I thought, stepped up without McLaurin and Noah Brown. They didn't get a lot of opportunities, but Luke McCaffrey, you heard the touchdown on the way in, 2 for 21 in the score on 3 targets. The other throw wasn't catchable. It was just kind of the first third down of the game, the deep corner that they threw way over the top because he was well covered. Jalen Lane got 3 chances and caught 2 balls for 18 yards. In fact, he was also wide open on the interception. Should have been a walk-in touchdown on a well-thrown ball. Only pick Mariota has thrown in Washington dating back to last year in about 100 attempts. So uncharacteristic, generally doesn't put the ball in harm's way. Had that pick and then another near pick on a throw underneath to Zach Ertz, and a zoning linebacker jumped up and almost made a nice one-handed play. Mariota, for the most part, was fine in the game. I think he had maybe 3 or 4 throws he wants back out of 27, which for a backup quarterback you'll take. But between McCaffrey, Lane, who also caught a long pass that was negated, remember, by Ben Sinnott, and a hold would have been another like 30 yards there. So if you have that, and then he just gets a decent thrown ball, that's a 4-catch game for 80-some yards and a touchdown, based on what the routes he was running and how open he was. Then you had Tay Martin coming back to the ball for a 14-yard catch on his only target. I thought the kids at receiver stepped up a little bit.
Jalen Lane, catch a football, please. Catch the football, please, when it's punted to you. You fumbled and muffed twice. That didn't come back to bite you, but it will in the future.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, when he is handed the ball, he gets more than is schemed up. Kroski Merritt, 7 attempts for 47 yards, 6.7 per. For the season, he's averaging 6 yards per carry, like he's playing in the Big 12 or something. Now, his carry total is very low, and some of that might be there's just not enough trust in him yet in pass protection. He had a bad rep yesterday where they bring a linebacker, he can't make the block, and then he ends up drilling Mariota for an incompletion at the end of a play. You're going to have to keep getting better at that to just get more work. But there's still a way to involve this guy with more carries on running downs than they are. They're still giving a lot of other people carries. And Chris Rodriguez had the big 40-plus yarder yesterday. Danny, first time since the 50s that Washington has in consecutive weeks had 45-yard runs. Pretty crazy.
How about that?
They've got 3 guys that have gone for 42 or more on the ground on explosive plays this year. 3 different guys. McNichols has done it. Rodriguez has done it. And Kroski Merritt has done it. But I posted all 7 of Kroski Merritt's carries on Twitter, if you want to go check it out, at Grant H. Paulson. There's only 1 carry in there that I see where he just gets what's kind of schemed up without pushing the pile or doing something or making a jump cut. His vision's awesome. I just love the kid. I want him to have the ball in his hands more.
Marshawn Lattimore, 15 first downs attributed to him through 4 games. I say that again, 15 first downs, 9 on catches, 6 on penalties. He is a disaster. He cannot cover. He is washed. And this trade looks worse every day.
Speed at the linebacking position for Washington is a problem. When you can keep everything in tight in the phone booth, they're going to be just fine. Because I think Wagner's as good as there is on the planet at just making the short tackle between the tackle box, right? And specifically coming downhill, they were doing their little delayed blitz bit against the Raiders a bunch where he rushed, I think it was, six times and got pressure four times and had a couple of sacks. He had an amazing game. When you get him running, though, go back and watch that Bijan Robinson play after the catch. And it's just, it looks like one of the fastest players in the league against a guy who's like, shouldn't be running ever.
Yeah, Robinson's going to win that track meet against a lot of people.
But it's a tough watch.
But it was, that was egregious.
And I just worry about, like, teams see that, man. How do they not spend hours trying to figure out how to get that look and get Wagner on a running back next week when you're playing against Amarian Hampton?
And when it's Dallas, it's going to be Kevontae Turpin. When it's, you know, name that team. Everybody's got a guy that's fast.
I don't know what the fix is.
Me neither.
But I know that my biggest concern going into the game is a larger concern coming out of it, which is I don't know how they deal with speed out of the backfield into space.
Joe Witt, sorry, dude. The press conferences are awesome. Your voice is deep, and you command respect. The way you play is not for everybody. You don't get any takeaways. Good job, Mikey Sanders, still the first one of the year. That's an average of 0.25 takeaways for every four per game, which is not going to butter the biscuit at this stage. I know there's not much you can try right now in terms of fixing that secondary and that coverage. You're hampered by the personnel, but there's got to be something else. There's got to be an adjustment. I can't have career days for Tucker Kraft leading to career days for Michael Penix leading to career days for the next Jag that's running wild and free in your secondary.
Matt Gay, we can put the kicker discussion on ice for a week or two, I think. He has made six consecutive field goals. He's 7-for-10 on the season now. And he made all four of his kicks yesterday, as well as staying perfect on extra points. And he didn't kick any balls out of bounds on kickoffs. So this was about as good as it's going to get, I think, with Matt Gay. 43, 52, 41, and 42 yards yesterday. And there were some big kicks in there, by the way. Like, they're making a kick to pull it to one possession in the third quarter late. He's kicking from 42 yards to make it, again, a one-possession game, so they have a chance at the onside kick with 1:29 to go. These are game-on-the-line kind of moments. And I thought not only did he make his kicks, but they were mostly splitting uprights, pretty clean off the foot, you know, non-worry kicks. I liked the way it looked coming off of his foot yesterday. I'm in a better place mentally about Matt Gay.
Pass rush, two quarterback hits. I think Toby had the line before the show. Michael Penix is looking to get rattled. Like, at this stage of his career, he looks like he's hoping that somebody comes in there and, like, he wants to fight ghosts and have happy feet and not be very comfortable. You certainly made him comfortable. Only two QB hits. Frankie Louvoux had one. Dorrance Armstrong had one. Other than that, good heavens. You can't leave this group to cover. I know more is expected of you, but this is the worst secondary in the universe right now. It's them, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. They are a disaster. Any ball in the air is going to be caught and caught for big yardage. You got to get home more. When you do, you can stop people on occasion. See the Raiders last week. They didn't come close to getting home. It's not as if Atlanta's got that, you know, juggernaut offensive line either. They're good, but they can't be that good where you're totally shut out.
Yeah, Louvoux's quarterback hit was on his first sack of the season. I actually thought Frankie had his best game yesterday. More noticeable, a bigger impact, and just moved better, I thought, and was showing up more often. Eight tackles for him, was number two on the team behind Bobby Wagner with that first sack of the year. He had eight last year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.